Welcome back, guys. DGS 405. Happy Thursday to you. Rach taking a couple of days off. Andrew, power hungry, running the board.
Control feels
running
good.
Running amok is more like it.
Crazy.
Control feels good.
Matt Pauley's here with us. Going to be talking some sports. But first, I have an observation.
Okay.
So, I'm not a rich man, but I've done, you know, well enough, and I was just having a little snack of cereal.
Ah.
Being the genius I am, I combined two kinds of cereal, Raisin Nut Bran and Honey Bunches of Oats.
All right.
And I was just eating it dry because I don't have any milk, and I thought to myself, I could spend $500. I can't get better cereal. There's some stuff that it doesn't, like, price doesn't matter, right? Like, what is it, $5.99 for a box of cereal, something like that?
Good question.
Let's say you're Bezos, and you're like, I want the best cereal in the world. Well, some a-hole's going to charge you $1,000, but there's some things, like, you can spend $100 on a cheeseburger. Is it really that much better than a $5 cheeseburger?
Nope.
I say nay.
We are naysayers.
When you watch, like, Shark Tank, all the developments are making stuff healthier. Taste as good, but healthier. So that's the only way to make something better at this point. Not lose
good observation.
The taste.
And that's when you charge more for it.
Yeah.
Good observation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than things like yachts and Lamborghinis, like, what are other things that you really can't improve with money? I mean, like, a Costco dog's $1.50, right?
Yeah.
That's a good hot dog.
Not much you're going to make it good better.
Good-ass dog.
Yeah.
Best hot dog you can get.
Unless you're just going to put stuff on it. But you're not really improving the thing. You're just adding things to it.
But if you buy, like, the store-brand mustard or the high-brand, I mean, it all tastes the same.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Do you think for the most part life's like that? Like, my Jeep has 210,000 miles on it. And yesterday, we all were driven home very kindly by Michael Kelly, who has a brand new Rivian SUV,
nice.
Which is kick ass.
Yeah.
I swear to God, his screen is bigger than my mom's television. But my Jeep gets me home just the same way.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, and a lot of it is just about the aesthetics, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, looks and feels, you know, and extras. But, like, the basic function is exactly the same.
I'm like, I have an old beat up Jeep, 180,000 miles on it. I love it. I don't want to drive any. I'm going to drive that thing until it just won't drive anymore.
Ditto, brother.
Yeah.
Me too. Every now and then, like, when I'm in someone's car like that, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm living like I'm in college. Why don't I have this car?
Yeah, yeah.
But then, like Matt, I'm like, but I like this one.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's fine. It's easy.
Likes the look. Fits what you're used to.
Yeah.
Yep.
If I hit something, I don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just leave the scene.
Fast.
You fit in downtown.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I really do.
You are truly a downtown St. Louisan.
I really do. What are we going to talk about? You guys take it away.
You want to do Cardinals?
Yeah.
You want to talk
about the draft?
I would like to ask him the question I asked you earlier.
Ask him the question.
I was saying that it seems that fans, not just Cardinals fans, but fans across the board, are saltier than they've ever been. And I'm wondering if that's just our climate. Everyone's salty about politics and about religion and about everything. So why not be saltier about sports? Do you think maybe it's the access that it used to be 20, 30 years ago that your only way to get your opinion across was to call a sports open line and a certain number of people will hear you, but not that many. And now you have the world with your megaphone? Or am I just making a mountain out of a molehill?
No, I don't think you're making a mountain out of a molehill. I think a lot of it's connected to social media. We tell everybody now, hey, get a Twitter account, get a Facebook account, and send out something, and everybody wants to see. So people now, I think, feel like their opinion is worth more than it's ever been worth before. And then the anonymity of it. Anybody can, as someone who gets called names on the postgame show
sometimes, that's crazy.
Anybody can say anything they want to me on the text line. And there's basically no recourse. Every once in a while, I'll call somebody after the show gets over. If somebody is angry enough or mean enough when something that they say to me, show will get over. I'll go into the sports office. Because, shocker, if you send a text message,
we have your phone number.
And sometimes it goes over well. Sometimes it does not go over well. Sometimes people don't pick up. So every once in a while I'll do that, but I try to ignore the mean stuff. But I think it's the combined, everybody's opinion matters because we now have these platforms to spout it off.
Yeah.
And the anonymity of it.
Yeah. Ethan, jump in on this. We have he's not listening to the show. See, I gave him a chance to be on KMOX. He's playing Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide if I think it's harder because I was doing like full-time sports talk radio throughout the 90s, like overnights where you take nothing but phone calls for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any angrier than it was then. I think it's angrier here than it normally is.
Amy made some good points.
Yeah.
Earlier in the show when we kind of talked about this and kicked it around, that we were so used to being really good, the Cardinals, that when we'd have a bad year, it would be like, that's weird, isn't it? And then the next year, you're good again. And for the last several years, it's been a little less cute to not be good.
Until last year, a bad year was still only a game or two out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? That was a bad year. It was a winning season, and you just missed the playoffs was a bad year. Last year was a real bad year, and you can see that nobody's handling it well. Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, not in a bad way. I mean, look, because the Cardinals set this standard with how they communicate with fans. They are telling everybody every year, we expect to be a contender. So if you're saying that out loud, well, then that's what the customer is going to expect from you. So the fans are not wrong to expect what the team is saying they want to be.
And it's a minority of people, but it's a growing percentage of people. There's a group of Cardinals fans that I think dislike the baseball operation and the leadership in the front office so much that they are almost rooting for the team to do poorly just so they can say, I told you so, or just so they can prompt change sooner, which is a very odd dynamic. That's not the majority of fans. Yeah. I want to be very clear, but there is definitely a group of people out there that I think take more joy in the failure because they can say, I told you so.
Yeah. Do you, and of course, for every person, there's a different reason, but do you sense that it is strictly, I think you should have hired this guy. I think you should have not fired Mike Schilt. Or is it something about Mo or something about the ownership?
All of the above.
All of it.
Everybody's got. And that's one of the things I struggle with because I'll get one person who's angry at the Cardinals because they rely too much on data and analytics. And then the next person is angry at the Cardinals because they haven't kept up with the rest of baseball. Well, it can't be both of those things because if you're relying on data and analytics, that means you are keeping up with what's going on. So that's where I struggle. And look, everybody's got different opinions, right? That's part of the world we live in, and we need to be able to embrace that. But it is there are so many different avenues of criticism towards this organization right now.
Paint me a realistic picture of how 2 months from now we are an above 500 team with a chance at the playoffs.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go, yeah.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. The best players need to play to their past performance. I don't think there's no lineup construction. There's no
magic.
There is no magic formula. You're not making a trade in the next 2 months because teams aren't making trades of significance until you get to late June and July. It is, and I don't mean it that it has to all be done by these guys. But it is about Goldschmidt and Arenado. It is about them being what the back of their baseball card says they are, because the other guys are meant to be complementary to the superstars. That's how a roster is built. Superstars are superstars because you know what you're getting. Well, when you're almost a month in, you're 25 games in, and you've got 3 combined home runs from those two guys, it's hard. It's going to be hard. If they're going to be what we thought they would, those two have to be what the back of their baseball card says.
And I agree with everything Kevin just said. I would add to that, you look at the upcoming schedule, Mets, Detroit, White Sox, Mets, Milwaukee, Angels, Boston, until you get to Baltimore at the end of May. You're 3 games under 500. So what does it take to get above 500, playing 4 games over 500? They can do that. I don't know if they will, but they can. The schedule, there's a lot of winnable games on the schedule in the next month.
Yeah, although some of those teams are better than you think they are at first glance.
Detroit's better.
But they're like the Cardinals. They can't hit. Detroit, but their pitching is really good, which is a problem because you're so those will be a bunch of like 2-0 games.
There's a lot of teams that can't.
But the Angels are beatable, right? I mean, the White Sox are the worst team in baseball. You need to destroy them. They're awful.
People need to like take a step back and look at some of the huge name players in Major League Baseball right now who are struggling offensively. I know baseball more than any other sport. You pay attention to your team and you have no clue what's going on in the rest of baseball. I think basketball fans have more of an idea of what's going on in the rest of the league. Same thing with hockey fans, football fans, for sure. Baseball fans watch their team every single night, very much in a filter, and they don't know, many of them don't know what else is going on. There are a lot of struggling guys out there.
Was Milwaukee more similar to St. Louis or much more different?
What do you mean?
In any
like
way
the way the
want.
Fan bases interacted, that kind of thing.
Similar in like the anger and the vitriol and things when things aren't going well. The difference there is the Brewers don't matter as much as the Packers. So the Brewers are always
good point.
Second.
Yeah.
And, you know, for many, in bad years for the Brewers, the mantra is just stay relevant until August when we got to start worrying about the Packers.
Interesting.
And, you know, one of the weirdest
things. How do the Bucks fit into that?
They don't.
Like, no, even with Giannis, they really didn't?
Recently, a little bit more,
okay.
But they didn't. It was, they were.
I mean, I know it's a Packers state. It's just everything Packers from north to south.
Bucks were clearly third on the run. And the Bucks are very Milwaukee-ish. Not that, you know, the Brewers and the Packers are very much a statewide team. The Bucks were more local.
Okay.
But one of the weirdest things would be sitting at a baseball game, and there's not much of a crowd there because there's a Packers game going on at the same time. And then all of a sudden, hearing this huge roar and going, what you're looking at the field going, what are they cheering about? And realizing it's all the people in the suites and in the concourse watching the Packers game. Wow. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
There'll be a bigger cheer for that than something that happens in a game.
While we have you here, let's talk some other sports. I'm super excited about Larry Bird coming. I'm really excited about the other kid that's coming. I'm excited that Jimerson's staying. I'm a SLU fan. I'm a homer, but I haven't been excited for a while. I'm excited.
Yeah, reason to be excited. Right now, if they just filled out the rest of the roster with just guys, I think they're easily a top three, top four team in the A-10 right now.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
The A-10 isn't great, but there's some good teams in the league. So for them to already be at that point with a bunch of roster spots still open, it's really, really exciting. Yeah.
I don't understand this. I don't understand the way conferences work. Let's say that they win the A-10. And let's say that Schertz builds a little dynasty. Are we looking to change conferences and to move up the way when Mizzou went to SEC, or is A-10 where we belong?
SLU fans would probably love to move leagues.
Yeah, to the Valley. I know a lot of old school fans would have loved to be in the Valley because you have all the regional. But the schools that are more like SLU are in the A-10.
Yeah, I don't think they fit in the Valley, and I don't know what a step like. Is the MAC a step forward? Is the American Athletic? And again,
those aren't like schools, right?
And you don't have football. That's the other side of this. You got, people talk about the Big East. I think that's still kind of a pipe dream.
That would be the logical one, though.
Right.
Like, it would be like you have St. John's, you have other similar
Marquette's
schools.
Marquette, right. Yeah. So that would be the place to go. But man, they would really have to build something over an extended amount of time for, I think, the Big East to even look at them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I have been watching the Lakers and Nuggets, and I finally understand why the NBA makes so much money. That is really exciting.
Dude. Mm-hmm. First of all, like, the Nuggets are amazing. And I know I put this on the list a couple days ago, and I think I might have taken it off. But LeBron James is an alien. He is 39 years old. Mm-hmm. I saw him block a shot the other night where his head was maybe 6 inches from the rim. That's how high he got up there at 39 years old.
Isn't it weird how just like one person's human body can be so different than basically every other person on the earth?
I mean, you think of all the greats in NBA history. Most of them were done in their mid-30s. If they were playing in their late 30s, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played forever, but he was kind of a shell of himself. And he also was a 7-foot-2 guy in an era where 7-foot-2 guys could just stand in the paint, catch the ball, and turn and skyhook. Guys like LeBron that run and jump and do all that, they don't last. Larry Bird was done years before they got to this. And LeBron is still 25 points a night, getting near triple doubles in the playoffs, still gets off the floor like he does. It's unbelievable what he's doing.
Yeah, really is. I love Jokic.
he's just ridiculous.
He doesn't look like he should be good. And then
right.
He looks like a guy that showed up in a men's league, and you're like, well, I pick him.
Yeah, right. And Luka's a little bit more looks the part, but even he's a little bit like, is he really going to be that good? And you look at him, you're like, dang, he is that good.
Yeah, crazy. All right, what's coming up tonight?
Sports Open Line, 6 to 8, full show. We'll talk a lot. We got a ton of guests, a lot of baseball.
Nice.
Normal stuff.
Thank you, Matt. You know, it's a very specific job, the courtroom sketch artist. And isn't it weird that they look exactly the way they looked when I was a kid? I mean, I guess it's tradition or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Like the judge wearing robes or what have you. But, I mean, look at the technology we have. Now, I understand, okay, you can't have cameras in there, but you could have a camera. You could have a photo-taking camera and look and know exactly what they look like as opposed to those weird chalk drawings of Donald Trump.
What if we had AI do it?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
AI drawings. That would be great, too, though, if we could do them like if they were done by caricature artists.
You don't think one day we're going to have AI as our judges?
Oh, no.
Oh, I think we absolutely will.
I hope not.
They can take in all that information. Let's say that it's a big case and you have a million documents. That's what I did when I lived in Alaska. I was looking at banker boxes full of documents for 3 years. It would take it a half a second.
What would be interesting is the combination of having that so he could go through, whittle down the issues and the legality of it, and then a judge takes that and then takes into account the human things that an AI is going to have a harder time accounting for.
And then the AI kills the judge and eats it.
Yeah. All right, it's DGS on a Thursday. We got no baseball tonight. Matt Pauly's got Sports Open Line from 6 until 8. I should say, there will be baseball in there. There just won't be a ball game. The Cardinals are off tonight. They'll take on the Mets in New York tomorrow. Andrew, question.
Yes.
Do you like hecklers?
I do. You know
do
what?
Do you generally? Do. Like even the jerks?
When we were at the game yesterday, I guess, I was listening for him. I was kind of keeping an ear out. I was like, I hope
there's not usually a lot of heckling at Cardinals games.
No, I don't know if I've ever heard, even at the NBA games I've been to or the couple of hockey games.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard like a
have you ever
like
been a heckler?
No, I'm too much of a coward.
Are you?
Yeah.
They're not going to come get you. Or is it more about the attention from the people around you?
Because they're not going to come get me. You know, Arenado's not going to come out of the stands and come hassle me. But, like, the drunk guy behind me might go upside my head. And
yeah. Shocking. I'm sure this will shock you, Andrew, that back in the day, mostly college years, probably not too much after that, but mostly college years, I was a heckler.
You heckled the one Allen Iverson.
I heckled Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, all these great guys in college. Mm-hmm. But I never did the mean, like, I'm calling somebody names, it was never like swearing at them, never bringing up their families. It was always just like sports related stuff, like just stupid things. Like, I was yelling at Iverson the whole game, asking him if he was ever going to pass because he shoots all the time. I mean, that was his thing. He was a shooter and a scorer, and I would just be on him nonstop. Are you going to pass? And then when he passed, I gave him a standing ovation, like that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I thought you meant you never heckled the mean people like Gilbert Arenas or whatever.
No. I would heckle those guys the most, all of them the most. But I always wanted to make sure that
Ron Artest would come get you for that.
That the heckling was not, you're not ever crossing the line, right?
Uh-huh.
I have been heckled. It's pretty funny, by the way. Yeah. I always laugh when I get heckled.
I think that seems like something.
I was heckled in college, even though I never played. We were like on the road at Florida, and there was like frat boys just destroying me when I was sitting down in the bullpen warming somebody up, and it was so funny. Like I would be back there laughing, and then they started to like me, and the next year they gave me a cheeseburger. I'm like, I can't take this in the bullpen, buddy, but you can go through that. But there's a guy, I don't even know his name, so I feel bad about it, but there's a guy who's posted a video that's now gone viral of him at Major League Baseball games heckling players, but like heckling them in a non-offensive, silly kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Randall! I bet you leave trash in your friend's cars, you bum!
What a dirtbag, am I right?
Hey, Kevin! You look like you eat bananas with the peel on, you bum!
You should be. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Eddie! I bet you think Africa is a country! You bum!
He nodded!
Hey, Jonathan! I bet your mom never put your artwork on the fridge, you bum!
Oh.
Hey, Jonathan! I bet you hit reply all the company-wide emails!
Oh.
You bum!
First of all, that right there, that's the deepest cut. That's the deepest cut and the biggest insult.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Like that got the attention of the people around him.
But what's great is when you're looking at the video, obviously the fans around are all kind of like laughing along with this guy. But what you can't see, obviously, because you're only hearing it on the radio, in the videos, they're showing some of the player and the players start laughing. Like they're actually like looking back and smiling. And a couple of them gave him like a wave, like, dude, that was a good one. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's creative. It's not, again, you're not insulting people. You're not offending the families around you. You don't have to be yelling, dude, you suck. Like, that's not funny. It's not helpful. And you're not really disrupting them. They don't care about that.
Bum is a really good one.
You're a bum.
Yeah.
Get out of here, you bum.
Yeah. I
still think the
that's making a comeback, and that makes me very happy about.
Yeah. The reply all, though, you reply all to company-wide emails.
Don't do that, folks.
You should get heckled for that.
Don't do it. Keep it to yourself.
All right, it's DGS on a Thursday. We got no baseball tonight. Matt Pauly's got sports open line from 6 until 8. I should say, there will be baseball in there. There just won't be a ball game. The Cardinals are off tonight. They'll take on the Mets in New York tomorrow. Andrew.
Yeah.
Question.
Yes.
Do you like hecklers?
I do. You know
do
what?
You generally? Do. Like, yeah, even the jerks?
Well, we were at the game yesterday, I guess. I was listening for him. I was kind of keeping an ear out. I was like, I hope
there's not usually a lot of heckling at Cardinals games.
No, I don't know if I've ever heard, even at the NBA games I've been to or the couple of hockey games,
yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard like a
have you ever
like
been a heckler?
No, I'm too much of a coward.
Are you?
Yeah.
They're not going to come get you.
Man,
or is it more about the attention from the people around you?
Because they're not going to come get me. You know, Arenado's not going to come out of the stands and come hassle me. But, like, the drunk guy behind me might go upside my head. And
yeah, shocking. I'm sure this will shock you, Andrew, that back in the day, mostly college years, probably not too much after that, but mostly college years, I was a heckler.
You heckled the one Allen Iverson.
I heckled Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, all these great guys in college. Mm-hmm. But never, I never did the mean, like, I'm calling somebody names, it was never like swearing at them, never bringing up their families. It was always just like sports related stuff, like just stupid things. Like, I was yelling at Iverson the whole game, asking him if he was ever going to pass because he shoots all the time. I mean, that was his thing. He was a shooter and a scorer, and I would just be on him nonstop. Are you going to pass? And then when he passed, I gave him a standing ovation, like that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I thought you meant you never heckled the mean people like Gilbert Arenas or whatever.
No. I would heckle those guys the most, all of them the most. But I always wanted to make sure that
Ron Artest would come get you for that.
That the heckling was not, you're never crossing the line, right?
Uh-huh.
I have been heckled. It's pretty funny, by the way. Yeah. I always laugh when I get heckled.
I think that seems like something you
I was heckled in college, even though I never played. We were like on the road at Florida, and there was like frat boys just destroying me when I was sitting down in the bullpen warming somebody up. And it was so funny. Like, I would be back there laughing, and then they started to like me, and the next year they gave me a cheeseburger. I'm like, I can't take this in the bullpen, buddy, but you can go through that. But there's a guy, I don't even know his name, so I feel bad about it, but there's a guy who's posted a video that's now gone viral of him at Major League Baseball games heckling players, but like heckling them in a non-offensive, silly kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Randall! I bet you leave trash in your friend's cars, you bum!
What a dirtbag, am I right?
Hey, Kevin! You look like you eat bananas with the peel on, you bum!
He should be.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Hey, I bet you think Africa is a country! You bum!
He nodded!
Hey, Jonathan! I bet your mom never put your artwork on the fridge, you bum!
Oh!
Hey, Jonathan! I bet you hit reply all the company-wide emails!
Oh!
You bum!
First of all, that right there, that's the deepest cut. That's the deepest cut and the biggest insult.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Like that got the attention of the people around him.
But what's great is when you're looking at the video, obviously the fans around are all kind of like laughing along with this guy. But what you can't see, obviously, because you're only hearing it on the radio, in the videos, they're showing some of the player and the players start laughing. Like they're actually like looking back and smiling. And a couple of them gave him like a wave, like, dude, that was a good one. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's creative. It's not, again, you're not insulting people. You're not offending the families around you. You don't have to be yelling, dude, you suck. Like, that's not funny. It's not helpful. And you're not really disrupting them. They don't care about that.
Bum is a really good one.
You're a bum.
Yeah.
Get out of here, you bum.
Yeah, I think
I still think the
that's making a comeback, and that makes me very happy about.
Yeah, the reply all though. You reply all to company wide emails.
Don't do that, folks.
You should get heckled for that.
Don't do it. Keep it to yourself.